I want to take a moment to thank my staff, since it's Staff Appreciation Month. They do a fantastic job in what they do and how they lead us, and I feel very blessed to be a supervisor and to get to join in ministry with them. We are a very blessed church in terms of the staff that we have, and I'm very grateful to God for that. Yeah. I want to take just a minute, and some of you may not connect with this, and that's okay, because when we pray, we don't have to feel a personal connection. What matters is that we join our hearts together. Some of you may have heard that Lillian Womack passed away. She was the wife of Pastor Owen Womack, who served here for a number of years before I came here, and laid the groundwork for so much of what we're doing today. And I'm sure that Owen's heart is... in that hard and wonderful place that we come to, where you have the joy of knowing that somebody that you know and love is with Jesus, and you have the hard moment of knowing that somebody that you know and love is with Jesus. And so many of you may not even know Owen. That's okay. You can probably imagine how he feels. They were partners in life and ministry for a very long time. And we need to take a moment just to lift him before God and ask that God would be with Owen and his family during this time and watch over them and bless them. And while we're doing that, there may be somebody that you know that needs a prayer this morning. Maybe they have somebody who's hurt or lost or has lost a loved one. So let's pray together. God, we're gathered together here as the church this morning. We just want to take a moment to thank you for a people who have been in ministry before us in this church. There are saints that have gone on to be with you, and many of them were friends of ours. We're thankful for their life and their ministry. We stand on the shoulders of others who have come before us serving Jesus. And we want to take a moment to thank you for Owen Womack, for his smile and his infectious spirit. He was forced into retirement by the system, but he had so much left in him when he retired from this church and his service here. He dearly loved his wife, Lillian, and they were partners in life and in ministry together. And I'm certain that Owen, who has such a deep faith in you, trusts in you even in these moments, but he's still hurting, I'm sure. And even while he's celebrating the joy of knowing that Lillian has no more pain and is not suffering anymore, I'm sure he still feels the loneliness of being left behind, not having someone to wake up to or to eat with as he has for so many years. So we just pray your blessing on him. Support him and encourage him. Walk with them as they plan funeral services and walk through that time. Bless the congregation of faith that he's with, that they would support him and encourage him and uphold him before you. Lord, we're so grateful for women and men who dedicate their lives to serving Jesus and helping out in whatever form that is. So today we just lift that before you, God, and ask that your special blessing would be with Owen and his entire family, that they would sense your presence and feel your grace in these moments. Help them to know your tenderness and the full extent of your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I'm hoping that I can adequately communicate what's in my heart this morning. I don't know how well I do that anyway, but we're wrapping up a series of sermons on attitudes, let me tell you what I want you to get from this sermon, and then we'll walk through it. I want you to understand that when you follow or decide to follow God, God has a spirit about himself that is so full of joy and hope and life. The Bible says that God is life. That when we're willing to follow God, it's kind of like being, if you've ever gone rafting or canoeing, it's kind of like being in a river and finding yourself in the current. When you find yourself in the current, it carries you. When you find yourself, the further you get out of the current, the harder you have to work to go forward. And what I want to encourage you is I want you to learn to stay in the center of that current and enjoy the ride with God. This morning, I'm going to be talking about a pair of attitudes. And they really kind of creep in from so many different directions in our lives that we have to watch them, because we constantly battle this. Because at the core of it is really at the heart of our spirituality. And I want to talk about, and I haven't even been creative about this. I wish I had, my brain had been more, or my spirit had been more creative about this. But on the one side of this, we have within us this capacity to say, not me, not now. Not me, not now. On the other side of it, we have the capacity to say, pick me. Now. Pick me now. I'm available. I went reluctantly to a day with a bishop this past week. It wasn't even a day, it was a couple hours. I say reluctantly because it was a visioning piece, and the bishop came out to the area to listen to the churches, to hear what their vision was for the future. So I drove to Cumberland this week, and I sat in a church. And the only reason I went was because my DS, whom I really like, Conrad Link, many of you have met him and I respect him, let us know that it would be helpful if we came. And I want to support him because I think he wants good things. So I went. I got there late. And I walked up to the elevator and I said, God, please don't let me disturb the meeting as I get in. I was only like 5 minutes late, but I was 5 minutes late. My car was being funky. And so I got on the elevator and I'm going down. Please, God, don't let me interrupt the meeting. I open it up. And literally, to my left, 2 feet away, is the bishop sitting there. And 5 feet in front of me is Conrad Link in the middle of a devotional. And I have to walk through all that to walk all the way around and get to a seat. Okay, God, thank you very much. So I set myself in the back of the room. Fortunately, I was not the... There were like three or four other people after me. Praise God. So I sit down, and I'm listening, and they're going, you know, they're telling us, we're not telling them yet. And they finally come to the time where they put us at tables and they say, now talk together. Here's three questions. Talk together about how you see the church being. Now, at this moment, as I'm at this table, my attitude is not me, not now. I do not want to be here. I am not present. I'm not willing. Are you getting that sense from me? They had to drag me to this place. I did not want to be there. So everybody, Dwayne Jensen, a friend of mine, a pastor over in Hancock, is sitting next to me, and Conrad Link is sitting at our table. I didn't pick that table ahead of time. He showed up there, and I was asked to be at that table, not by Conrad, by somebody else. So I'm sitting there, and there are four of the women and another pastor at this table, an old guy, and they start asking these questions. And I'm just sitting there kind of with my head down like this, drinking my coffee. And they're giving the same answers that they've always given. What do we need to do to turn the church around? Well, we need to get people to read their Bible more. If they read their Bible, it would change everything. And I'm just like, oh, I'm getting a headache, God. Now, there are four women and three of them have a light in their eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can tell that something is alive inside of them. And one of them says, man, we really need to reach kids. But in my church, they're just not doing it. And one of them says, yeah, that's really true. We need to do that. And I'm thinking, we need to do that. That's good. That's good stuff. I mean, we need more than just we need to reach kids, but that's good stuff, right? Reading your Bible is good too. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, that's the standard answer. And they began putting out these ideas. And I'm like, yes. So I'm sitting up now. Now I'm paying attention, right? The pastor, he's offering nothing. Dwayne's just sitting beside me being quiet. And suddenly this woman says something. And I said, why don't you do that? She sat up. She said, what do you mean? They were talking about evangelism. I said, why don't you do that? She shook her head. She said, what do you mean? I said, I look at you three women. You are vibrant. You are alive. You are aware of God. And you're sitting here telling us great ideas. Why? You are the hope of your church. Why don't you do it? And they just kind of sat back a second. And they said, we don't know how. We've never been trained. I said, trained? I said, look, here's what you need to do. You all are moms and grandmothers, aren't you? Yes. I said, you need to go out and find some moms and grandmothers who have grandkids. And you need to talk to them. I said, you know how to talk to people, don't you? Oh, yes. Well, you need to make up some backpacks and take them to homes. And just say, we're giving out backpacks to kids because we love Jesus. And do you have anything we want to pray for? And they're like, but we've never had anybody teach us. I said, nobody has to teach you to talk to people. You just need to do it. This one woman, she was a missionary. And she's just like, we can't do this. I'm like, yes, you can. You can do this. You are the hope of your church. Everybody else in your church is saying, we've done that before. We've tried that before. You are the hope of your church. But there was something inside of them that said, not me. Not now. And when they were done, they went over to Conrad and they said, who is that man that's bugging us? One of them came up to me. She's the chair of her council. She said during the meeting, she said, well, I got all this other responsibility. I said, quit it. Just drop it all. I don't care what it is. Just drop it. Stop meeting in committees and do ministry. By the way, if you think I was being a little strong, you know what Dwayne Jensen's suggestion was? Close half the churches, sell them, and plant new churches. That went over well, yeah. So here's why I tell you this story. Because there's a part inside of us that feels like we're somewhere in this current of God, and moments where we're further out and moments where we're further in. And God is constantly inviting us to the center of that current of where He is. And there's a part inside of us that's afraid of that. Because it goes too fast, or we don't know where it goes, or we don't know what it's going to look like. And so we start to say, no, not me. I'm not the whitewater rafting type. Not now. I got other stuff going on. And in the center where God is life. And the further we get out and away from God, the more dead we feel. And we wonder and we feel that tension inside of us. In Matthew chapter 22, there's this really, really strong story that Jesus tells. It's actually a parable. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me just take a moment to tell you, when he says this, first of all, a parable is a way of communicating that this is kind of a story that resembles something about God or something about how God works or who God is. And when it says the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't simply mean heaven as in when you die, you go there. It means God and His presence and the way that He does things moving and living and being, whether it be in heaven or here on earth. Jesus said that His purpose was to begin to bring about God's way of doing things here on this earth. That's the kingdom of God. So He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is how God works. Let me tell you how God operates. The kingdom of heaven is like a king. Who would the king be in this parable? Yeah, that's an easy question, isn't it? The king is like God, who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And who would the son be? Jesus, right? God, his son, you're following along. He's got a son, Jesus. And by the way, as a side, who is Jesus getting married to? The church. The bride is the church. Thank you. Preparing a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. Let me just pause there for a second. This one's a little bit harder. Does anybody know who his servants were? Close, but no. The prophets. He sent the prophets to tell Israel, Jesus is coming, get ready, Jesus is coming, get ready, Jesus is coming, get ready. But they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered and everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. They killed the prophets. So, he's saying, the way that God operates is like this. There was going to be a big wedding. Now, if you think your wedding took a long time to plan, he's saying this is the entire Old Testament. This is all the planning for this wedding that God set up. And he kept saying, it's coming, I'm getting it ready, it's coming, I'm going to have this big feast. And in Jewish families, you think weddings are expensive today. Their wedding feast lasts a week. Remember when Jesus turned water to wine? He turned them to wine in those massive containers. You think you've seen an open bar at some weddings. You've never seen the kind of drinking those people did. You think I'm making this stuff up? It's in the Bible, people. You astound me. The king was angry. Can you imagine that? That they mistreated his servants? He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, more servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Now he's getting ready to open the doors to everybody. Go to the street corners. Now, how many of you did this for your own wedding? Our friends and family won't come. You just go on down to Roy's and see anybody you can see. And Sheets, too. Whoever's down there, you just invite them to come over to the Legion right now. Come on, bring them on over. Roy's and Sheets, come on. Go to the street corners and invite them to the banquet. Anyone you can find. Anybody. Now, why was it anybody he could find? Because he wanted people there to celebrate his son. This is what the kingdom of God is like. He wanted people there to celebrate his son. Now let me just pause for a second. The first group, why didn't they come? Do you remember? What's that? Business and other things, yes. They paid no attention. One went off to his field, another to his business. There's a kid's song, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I've married a wife, I've bought me cow, I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me a lot, I cannot come. They were busy. Not me. Not now. But when the king, I jumped ahead. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people from Sheets and Roy's they could find, both good and bad. That's the new Berkeley Springs version. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, by the way, it was filled with what? Good and
bad.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? They were all invited, good and bad. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. In other words, he was not dressed for the moment. Now that isn't like we got to dress up for worship. The Bible says that when we become a Christian, we're given a robe of righteousness. He wasn't wearing a wedding robe, which means that, good or bad, he didn't have any kind of relationship with God. And so, it says, then the king told, the man was speechless. He said, friend, he said, how'd you get in here without your wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. The heart of this message is this. Do not put off a relationship with God. That's the heart of this message that Jesus is trying to tell. Do not put off a relationship with God. People said, I'm busy, I got stuff going on. So the Bible says God sent an army and just slew them all. And at the heart of it was this idea that when the rest invited, they actually came. Not that they were worthy. And that's the point of the story, isn't it? It's not that they were even like the first people that God would choose. It's that they were willing to respond. That's really at the heart of it. They're willing to respond. And then they were dressed because they had encountered Jesus. A few weeks ago, I had to pick up Sarah Fisher to bring her to work, and I had my son with me. I dropped off the two girls to school, and I was getting ready to drop Mike off. We're driving past Sheets to head to the church and then me up to drop Mike off at Doodlebugs. And I noticed that right in front of the tire pressure thing at Sheets, there's a woman in a skirt who's down on the ground fiddling with her car. So there's something inside of me, and there should be anyway, right? I mean, there should be something inside of us anyway that says, go help that person. But I felt like I was being asked to help that person. I mean, as a citizen, we should feel that way anyway, but I felt like I was being asked. So I pulled in, and the woman had a flat tire. So I cranked it up and I changed the tire. But what was really interesting was the conversation that was happening inside of the truck between Sarah and Micah while I was doing this. And Micah said to Sarah, and I didn't hear any of it until later, what's Dad doing? And Sarah said, he's changing a tire. Why is he doing that? Because the lady's car is broken. Does he know what he's doing? I don't know how she answered that one. And they had this long conversation about, why is he doing that? He said, is it because he's the pastor? And they're still trying to figure that whole deal out, me being a pastor. And Sarah said, no, it's just because your daddy feels like we need to help people. When Sarah shared that conversation with me, I realized why God asked me to stop and change that woman's tire. Only a small portion of the reason why I was asked to stop was that somebody helped that lady. The rest of it was that God was saying something to my son, and I didn't even realize it. See, the powerful thing about God is that when you are willing to respond, you have no idea of the impact of what that will have. None. on yourself, on the person you're helping, but maybe even more importantly, on the bystanders that are just watching. It is an amazing and powerful thing to experience God kind of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, you, this thing over here, you need to do this. And most of it isn't rocket science, folks. Most of it's having simple conversations. It's being available. It's seeing a need and responding to it. Isn't it interesting that one of our biggest spiritual battles is, I got too much other stuff to do? And I don't feel qualified to do it. When the Bible promises us that God will give us whatever we need when He calls us to do it. I think the reason why this parable is so powerful is because it illustrates the beginning of a relationship in which you realize that buying into what it means to be a Christian is that process. And it doesn't just come when you say, you know what, Lord, I realize I need a Savior. I realize I need a God. And so I'm here to come before you humbly and ask Christ into my life to forgive me my sins and to create a new life inside of me. That's the beginning of a relationship with God. But it's just the beginning of what it means to follow that God who will regularly come to you in big and small ways and say, this is the thing today. This is the thing right now. The thing that I love about God is when you have a spirit that says that you're available, even when you miss opportunities, even when you refuse them, He'll still come back to you. God isn't like that. But if you foster a spirit that says regularly, not me, not now, over and over and over again, you will push yourself to the margins away from God and you will slowly stop hearing that voice calling you. Because you found yourself on the margin. Away from where God and the Spirit are calling you to be. And He'll try to invite you back to the middle again. And so, I want us to understand the significance of these moments that seem so small to us, but are really so big. Because they're at the heart of who we are as Christians and our relationship with God. There's so much on the line. And I don't just mean because a person needs help with a tire. That's awesome. Because maybe that person was at a moment in their life where they're like, okay, God, you and I aren't like much together, but if you could help me out in this situation, I don't know if that prayer was prayed, but if that prayer was prayed and somebody suddenly stops, that's a big deal. Now, I do not do this perfectly. About half the time, I would say, there's a part inside of me that says, not me, not now. And I'm ashamed of that. Because when I respond to God, it's amazing the stuff that happens. And the more you respond to God, the more you hear God's voice encouraging you and calling you. And you feel like you actually have a purpose. You have a place. I am amazed, and it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm in God's world. I'm amazed how many times I go places where there's just a need that pops up right in front of me. And when I respond to it, God does the most amazing things. I was in a room a couple weeks ago. Somebody came up to me. They had an inkling of who I was. And they said, could you help me? I said, sure. How do you need help? I said, well, I've been given responsibility for a little boy whose mom just died. And I don't know what to do. Now, I had lingered just an extra minute and asked that person how their day was. But that was it. And God just kind of opened up this huge opportunity to bless this kid who had just lost his mom. And I can become so task-oriented and so calendar-oriented and so boom, 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 that I can just miss, I can fly by all of those opportunities in front of me. And the powerful thing is how one thing leads to another. And that's because God's Spirit is so amazingly alive and at work around us and in us. I've talked a lot about not me, not now, but I want to talk for just a minute about a different side that says, how about me and how about now? You see, it's a different thing to go from being open to actually looking for opportunities. The reason why I was so shut down when I went to that meeting in Cumberland was because I didn't want to be there. It was about me. I didn't go saying, you know what, I've been asked to come, so maybe God's got something at hand. Maybe God's got something he's going to do in this. I didn't go looking with an open mind that even though I had to go to something I didn't want to go to and be in a place I didn't want to be, God might have something for me anyway. Or for somebody else. And so I went frustrated. I went thinking it was just going to be a complete waste of time. And I didn't have an openness of spirit to actually look for those places where God might be doing something. Instead, I just had bad attitude written all over me. Can anybody relate to that? And I find that when I can get to the place where I'm like, you know what? Maybe God, in this thing I don't want to be in, doing this thing I don't want to do, has something bigger than this moment. When I get to that place, then when I see it happen, I begin to realize that in every place I am and in every person I'm with, God might have something he's got planned. And that transforms the whole way I look at my life. It helps me to understand. It helps me to get through. And as a matter of fact, it helps me to have some joy in being in places that I don't want to be. And feeling like what I'm doing actually matters. That's important, isn't it? And what it really comes down to is saying, God, I'm walking through my day today. Here's what I've got in front of me. I want to let you know that I'm going to have an attitude that's willing and open to be interrupted, to see and to hear the opportunities that you have for me today. I'm not just going to get so focused on my phone and PDA and my paper calendar, whatever you carry. I'm not going to get so focused on that and my schedule that I miss the very thing in front of me that you have planned for me. And I'm actually going to look for it. I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to see if there is someone who looks like they need help or a place that looks like they could need me. And I'm going to ask you, is that it? Is that for me? Is this the moment? And when you say yes, notice I said, when, if you say yes. Sometimes we jump into stuff that's none of our business. But if you say yes, I'm in. I feel so close to God when I see God at work around me and in my life. And I am convinced that I am nothing special. If you read the Gospels, this is exactly what God was saying that he had planned for every one of us. And so, The first invitation for you this morning is that if you've never said to Jesus, yeah, I want to be a part of your kingdom, I want you in my life, the invitation is there. I'm offering it today if you've never heard it. Jesus wants to bring good things to us. That's why the image is a wedding feast. It's the joy of, for a people who probably didn't get to eat a lot, the image of a feast is a pretty powerful thing. But my second invitation, and this is for many more of you, is this. I encourage you, especially when you look first thing in the morning or the night before at your day and you say, man, there's no, I don't see anything tomorrow that I'm really interested in doing. I'm not excited about this at all. Matter of fact, I really don't want to do that right there. Here's what I want you to say. God, I'm available. And I'm going to look for those moments when you've got something that you want to do. Give me the courage and the wisdom to hear and to respond to that. And God will do amazing things if you do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am so blessed to be a part of this church. I thank you that I'm surrounded by people who care about you, who love you, who are trying to, like me, understand who you are and how you work. My confession, and probably confession this morning, is how easily we get caught up in our stuff and our life. The honey-do list or the I want to do list or whatever it is that we become so focused on that we miss so many important things. And maybe it's just in our own family. Maybe it's opportunities to bless our own kids. Maybe it's an opportunity to stop and put down the chores and go have a snowball fight with the kids or build a snowman or something like that. I don't know what it is, God. But what I know is that you are regularly at work doing and calling us to do life-giving stuff. And many of it's really simple. It doesn't require training or a workshop any more than changing a tire does or having a conversation with somebody over something that's hurting. It mostly comes down to us not only being willing and available, but being intentional about that. Help us today, help us this week, help us to walk out of here today and ask the question, today, God, what do you want to do with me? What opportunity lays right in front of me to bless somebody else, to hear your voice and to respond to it in a way that says, man, I'm part of something bigger and what I do matters. And help us not only to have the faith, but to have the courage to respond to that, God. And call us on the carpet when you see us having that not me, not now attitude that shuts us off from you and keeps us from hearing your voice and turns us away. Thanks so much for your willingness to be patient with us, God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.